prison that Christine. All right, welcome to the midweek service. Let's all stand. We're going to sing Wonderful Story of Love. Tell it to me again. Try that one more time. That's better. Here we go. Wonderful Story of Love. Tell it to me again, wonderful story of love. Awake the immortal strain, angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Though you are far away, wonderful story of love. Still he doth call today, calling from Calvary's mountain. Down with the crystal bright fountain, even from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love, for all the pure and blessed, rents in those mansions above us. With those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love.
Good to see you this evening. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask you as every service that you'd meet with us tonight, that you'd fill to speak with your power, and Lord, you bless the singing and the special, and help anyone that's still on the way to get here safely. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, work for the night is coming. Work. Hold on a second. Do that a little longer. Do that a little. All right, here we go. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming. When man's work is done, work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming. When man works no more. Work for the night is coming. Under the sunset skies, while their bright tints are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth. Fadeth to shine no more. work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Always a privilege to have folks visit with us. I didn't see anyone, but don't want to miss anyone. Anyone here for the first time or the first time in a long time? All right, don't forget the normal stuff going on this week, which means tomorrow night, 6:45 for soul winning, Friday night youth activities, 6 to 7:30. Saturday bus visitation 9:30, then so on at 10:45. Back in your places for Sunday school and church, 9:45 and 10:50. Again, this coming week on Sunday evening, we will be having a special group, a college group with us. And that, also that night will be, you bring some food for your family and a little bit extra, and we'll have some food afterwards and have a celebration of the 4th of July. Then also going away for the Castiles. And thank you for the ones who already talked to me about making the cakes. We appreciate that. But the Castiles have been faithful here for a long time. Suzanne was one of my teenagers. Makes me feel old when one time she told me how old she was, and I thought, you can't be that old, but she was. And so it was even worse when Patty told me how old she was the other day. I thought, I can't have teenagers that are that old, but we do. So they're not teenagers anymore, but I had teenagers, and now they're that old. But again, we appreciate so much the faithfulness, Brother Castile on staff, our soul winning staff, and then Sunday school teachers and priests in children's church, and he's been behind the pulpit many times. I appreciate him doing the fiesta thing. Some of you that have never ran anything don't understand how much of a pain it is, how much of a blessing it is, but how much of a pain it is as well to do that stuff. And he does it every year, and if you ever ask him, he never gets. That's one thing I appreciate about Roy. He never gets excited about. I mean, one way or the other. I mean, you can't tell if he's happy or if he's mad. He's just kind of always right there in the middle. And he takes everything in stride. I appreciate that. But he took the pastorate after Brother Patton had asked him several times, and then he accepted that here a while back. So he'll be going to Faith Bible Church and taking over there. So pray for him and families that go over there. But that will be on this coming Sunday night. And again, if we have time, we'll go over to the ball field after that. But we'll just have to see what time. I don't know that we'd be able to leave to the ball field by the time everybody eats and stuff like that. So we'll probably just have folks do some stuff here. But again, that is this coming Sunday. Then youth conference is coming up in a few weeks. So again, mom and dad, make plans for that. Kids as well. Just a few weeks away. We'll give you more. We'll have another meeting and have more details. We're going to try to do one more fundraiser to try to help defray some of the cost to the parents. We've got some parents with 2 and 3 kids, and I realize that's expensive when you have that many children at one time going to youth conference. So we'll help you with that. We're going to do probably one of those sausage sales, and everybody likes food, so we're going to try to do that in another week or so. So don't forget to pray for Brother Lowry. Pray for Christine. I don't know. What's her last name now? It's still Vaughn? I didn't know if it's. What is it? NB. I knew it was something besides Vaughn, but I know it's Christine Vaughn, so do y'all, but pray for Christine. How is she doing, Mom? She's doing better than what she was the other day, and we started praying for her, though, right? All right. Okay, keep her in prayer. Many of you got the prayer request the other day, as I did, and I prayed then, but I hadn't heard any updates. So keep her in prayer. And again, don't forget to continue to pray for our older folks. Keep them in prayer all the time. And Brother Wynn.
Amen. All right. She's always Christine Bond to me. My apologies. All right. Let's have all stand and sing Heavenly Sunlight. Sunlight all of my journey over the mountains to the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing. Singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Lord, we ask You to bless the service tonight and the preaching and the hearing. Ask Father, You bless this offering. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Ron Hamilton, he is in a assisted living place these days, so you pray for the family, and he's got a little Alzheimer's going on, so you pray for him. Still got a big smile, but he's having little issues these days. All right, we're going to sing Beyond the Sunset. Reunion with gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, forevermore.
Amen. I'd like to thank God that I'm looking for a place, a final rest, man. And heaven is going to be a glorious place. Amen. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Saints were with him over there. You could hear praying everywhere. Clouds open up, and there stood Jesus. Grace burst open everywhere. Grace burst open everywhere. Saints went flying through the air. You could hear singing everywhere. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Felt myself begin to change. Felt myself begin to change. Had a robe as white as snow. Didn't have a spot, I was ready to go. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Gates of pearl swung open wide. Gates of pearl swung open wide. Not a heartache, not a care. You could hear him not praying anywhere. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Saw the river of life so cool and clear. Saw the river of life so cool and clear. There was God upon his throne. I sure was glad I'd made it home. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus. Clouds opened up and there stood Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I had another sermon prepared. I want to be able to figure this will help me as well as maybe help be a help to some of you. But Hebrews chapter 11, notice verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it he, being dead, yet speaketh. I want to speak tonight on this thought, lessons learned from Mrs. Block's death. Father, I ask you to meet with us tonight. I ask you, Lord, that you might help us, Lord, that we might glean some truths from life and from the Word of God, and Lord, that we might realize that life is, as you mentioned in the Bible, it's a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to realize that that we're not promised tomorrow. We only have today. We should do what we can to serve you, to love our loved ones and to accomplish all that we can for you each day that you give us, and Lord, that we ought to be thankful for every day that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you at one time thought 60 years old was old? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are, as I am, at least 60 years or older? A lot of us. When I was a kid, 60 seemed really, really old. Old and wrinkly. And I didn't know that I'd got that wrinkly until Mrs. Solis one day mentioned it in school about how many wrinkles I had on my face. And so, and I hadn't noticed it. And then I went and looked in the mirror and I thought, I do have a lot of wrinkles on my face. But I wouldn't have noticed it if she hadn't pointed it out. So, I mean, I was, in my mind, I was wrinkle-free until she mentioned it. And now I realize I have wrinkles all over my face. So my son Joseph told me that there's some stuff I could use to help. Maybe I should do what some of you ladies do and put that white stuff on my face every night. The good news is now I don't have anybody except my dog to scare, so it wouldn't be too bad. But again, 60 years of age used to be really, really old. But now that I've got 60, I hope that I have a few more in the future. I hope that I mean, at one time I thought if I lived to be 60 that, I mean, you know, I'd be more than glad and ready to go. And I can tell you that you do slow down when you get old. Your mind still works fairly well. Well, I mean, sometimes. I mean, sometimes it don't work at all. But your body from here on down, I tell people all the time, from here on up, I'm about 40 years old. From here on down, I'm about 75. And so, but again, life passes swiftly. Notice a few things. We want to look at some truth tonight, maybe get something that will be a help to us. First, I want to mention this thought. Life can end unexpectedly. Notice James chapter 4, verse 14, a verse we often use when we're talking about lost people getting saved, but it applies also to us as Christians. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now, when you and I look at 60, we're looking at 60 from human years. And 60 seems like a long time. If those of us have lived 60 years or longer, I mean, we can look back. I mean, it's been a long journey. But when you compare 60 to eternity, that's why he mentions it's just like a little vapor. I mean, it's a very short period. Because when you compare 60 or 70 or 80 to eternity, it isn't hardly any time at all. But the truth is, no matter whether you live to be 20 years old or 40 years old or 80 years old or how old you live, keep this truth in mind. Life can end unexpectedly. Because of that, you and I ought to make sure that, one, we're saved, two, that we're right with the Lord. Brother Vineyard used to always tell us at Bible college all the time, we didn't always heed his advice, but he used to always say this, every preacher boy should be ready to preach, pray, and die. That's what he told us, that any time we should be ready to preach, pray, or die. And by the way, as a child of God, you may not be a preacher here in the evening. There's only a few of us, but all of you should be ready to pray at any time. And you ought to also be ready and be prepared to die, because life can end unexpectedly. Number two, I want you to understand this truth. Let loved ones know daily, quite often, that you love them, because one day you won't be able to. I tell this to people all the time. Probably one of my biggest regrets. Now, thankfully, and I'll mention it later, I didn't leave the house that morning like some people do and just had a fight. I know people who have a loved one that dies, and the last thing they remember was the big fight that they had and how they argued and fought and left on bad terms. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. But I couldn't remember because, again, when you get old like us, you've been married for so long, you don't always tell each other you love each other every day like you should. Now, I've told Miss Bart thousands of times that I loved her, but I don't remember if I told her that day. So again, let loved ones know daily. Mom and Dad, I remember as a kid, twice in my lifetime, my dad told me he loved me. Now, he showed me all the time, and you've heard me say this many, many times. I had a great dad, one of my heroes, someone that I would love to live up to, but probably never will. But my dad lived in an age like, again, a few of you older folks here, not my age, but those of you a little older, and men had the tendency not to show emotion, tendency especially not to say I love you to somebody. Now, you could say I love you to your wife, and that was okay, but you typically didn't say I love you to another guy, and lots of times even to your kids. So though my dad showed me all the time that he loved me, he only told me either two or three times in my whole life, and that was one of the resolutions that I'd made. And again, kids, there's nothing wrong with you making up your mind you'll do some things differently than mom and dad. And I can tell you, you better do a lot of stuff just the same as mom and dad, because if your mom and dad are men and women of God, you better try to emulate them in every way you can. And by the way, don't go by the world's techniques and the world's philosophies and the world's teachings about raising kids and all the rest of it. If you do, you won't be able to stand your kid when he gets about 15 or 16 years old. By the way, he or she will probably be pushing you around and telling you what to do, and you'll be afraid of your own child if you listen to the world. But again, there's nothing wrong with making up your mind that you're going to do something differently than your mom or dad did if they fell in some area, and every parent does. So that was something that I had made up my mind that I would make sure that I told my kids. There are days that I told my kids more than one day that I love them. There's been times I've told my kids more than two or three times in one day that I love them, compared to the two or three times in my lifetime that my dad told me. But again, make sure your loved ones know that you love them. You ought to make sure you say, well, and I remember Brother Nichols used to say this all the time when he was preaching to married couples years ago. He used to say, some of you husbands are such that you told your wife you loved her at the wedding altar, and you told her, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. But again, she ought not ever wonder whether you love her. She ought not ever have to think whether you love her or not. Truth is, you can show it in lots of ways. Again, I've mentioned this before, and thankfully I learned this from my father as well. My dad was always doing stuff for my mom, bringing flowers and things like that, so I did too. How many of you know what a dogwood tree is? As a kid, my mom loved dogwood trees and so dogwood blooms, and they smell good. So as a kid, I would go and against a tree. So I would cut off small limbs with the flowers and bring them and put them in a 5-gallon bucket and put them there for my mom. And then as I cut off limbs, it got where the limbs got higher and I couldn't reach them. I couldn't reach any more limbs. So I had to carry a bucket or a ladder down to the we had one dogwood tree on our property. Had to carry the bucket down to the tree so I could stand on the bucket and cut my mom some flowers. I was at HEB's a few years ago when I was buying flowers for my wife, as I often did. And by the way, gentlemen, a good thing to do, not just when you're in trouble, and not when you want something. But that was exactly what the clerk asked me that night. The clerk said, either you've done something bad, or it's a special occasion. And I said, neither. I said, I just like to buy flowers for my wife. And then they said, wow, that's not normal. And by the way, gentlemen, it should be normal. It should be normal that mama comes home and realizes she sees something around the house or something either you did or something in some way that you show her that you love her. Mom and dads, you can do that. I remember, my mom wasn't one that wrote notes and put them in my lunch pail, but I know parents that do that. And so kids will go to school and get a letter from mom or dad in their lunch pail and realize mom and dad loves me. Preacher and I were both when we was in Bible college. The girls lived down one wing and the guys lived down another wing. He was dating Cindy at the time and I was dating Karen. And when I would come home, I think he worked a different shift than I did. But when I would come home from work, I always went and looked. Before I left, I would leave her usually just a 3x5 card folded up and stapled or taped. And the reason it was stapled or taped is all the other college guys would read your mail if you didn't. So usually if it was at least stapled or taped, they wouldn't tear it open and look at it. But I would leave her usually a 3x5 card. Many times she would leave me an envelope, and that envelope, I would come there, I'd get that, and it always smelled good because she always put perfume on the envelope. And so then I'd open it up, and then there'd be a letter. She always wrote letters. I wrote 3x5 cards, but she was a better writer than I. But again, let them know that you love them. Tell them daily. Your kids should never doubt you love them. Now, again, kids relate, for some reason, they relate discipline with anger, discipline with hate, discipline with lack of love. That's not true. The truth is, if you really love your kids, you will discipline them. It is only parents who don't love their kids that don't discipline their kids. And by the way, it's a lot easier not to discipline than it is to discipline, because discipline's harder on the parent. Now, I remember my parents used to tell me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I used to think, there's no way that's true. There was a time as a parent that, truth is, it hurt me. I continued to discipline my child, but it actually hurt me. I mean, I was crying as much as the kid was crying. Now, that wasn't always the case. Sometimes I enjoyed disciplining my children, and that wasn't always a good thing. The truth is, make sure they know you love them. Number three, live every day like it could be your last, because it might be. Notice Ephesians chapter 4. Brother Nicholas has often used this verse when it comes to talking about husbands and wives not going to bed angry at each other. And it's used for that, but it's also just good for us in any situation. But notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Then it says this, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You and I should not go to bed angry. By the way, it probably isn't good to leave to go to work angry. It's not good to go on a trip angry. The truth is, you and I should keep our attitudes. We should try to make sure that love is remembered far more than anger is remembered. By the way, whether it's on the side after death that you lived every day like it was your last, or you was on my side, whether we're on Karen's side, I don't know how they think in heaven, so I don't know if she's looking back wishing there was some things she had done, but I can tell you from this side, there are some things that I wish I had done. As I said earlier, thankfully, I didn't leave that morning in an argument. I didn't leave that morning in a, having harsh words. I know people that do. I've dealt with people, and it's hard to comfort someone when what they remember is, the last words I said to them was, I hate you. Or the last words I said to them was, I wish you was dead. Or the last words, and by the way, I don't know any child, that probably hasn't said that to their parents. If they didn't say it out loud, they probably said it to themselves. But because sometimes kids, we don't think very rationally. And sometimes, I remember those times I wasn't going to ever speak to my parents again. Now, most of you know that didn't last very long because I have a hard time not keeping quiet very long. But there's times I've told my mom and dad, I'm never talking to you again. But again, when he mentions not to let the sun go down on our wrath, we want to make sure that we try to keep our relationships. So we ought to be angry at sin. The truth is we ought to hate sin so much that we can't stand sin. And again, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, again, our relationships. And don't let the anger go to bed with you. Don't let the anger wake up the next morning and you carry it to work with you. Try to get those things right. Two of the words that's very easy to say that would be helpful in most relationships is I'm sorry. Now, by the way, sometimes your wife or husband may want to tape that because you don't say it as often, and so they might want to tape it because they might want to remind you later on that you actually admitted, or I was wrong. And again, I can tell you from Brother Block's position, I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. Now, I've had to apologize a few times through life, and I can tell you I never enjoyed any of it. I don't enjoy apologizing because when I have to apologize, what it means is I'm messed up, and I don't like to admit that I messed up. I like to be right all the time. Now, due to the fact that I live in a human body and I'm not smart like Jesus is, I'm not all-knowing like God, I make mistakes, and you will too. Be able to say I'm sorry or I'm wrong, but again, make sure that you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Another truth is one day or an event can alter the rest of your life. We know Amnon in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3. Now, you know what? I don't know anything else about Amnon than the story there. Truth is, Amnon wasn't a kid. I mean, he was probably a young man. What did he accomplish before then? What did he accomplish after that, before Absalom killed him? Probably some good stuff. Now, do we know any of the good stuff? And the answer to that is no. Preacher might, because he studies Bible probably more than some of us do. But the truth is, I don't know anything. I know that big event about Amnon. The fact that Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Terrible thing. When we think of doubting Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 24, when the Bible mentions there, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. We've often said this, and it's very, very true. You never know when you miss a church service whether that church service was the one that could have changed your life. Now, the devil's well aware, and he knows what preacher's going to preach on Sunday. You know why? He's not all-knowing, but he sees what preacher's studying. He sees his notes. He sees the concordance. He sees the computer. He sees him. Now, I don't know if he can read Brother Nichols' writing, because Brother Nichols writes in an unknown tongue, but the devil already knows what we're going to preach before we get to the pulpit. Because he knows that it may be that's why that service, you try to keep you from coming. Why he tried to get you to think about how tired you were or how busy you've been and how early tomorrow's day starts. Because he doesn't want you in that service that could have changed your life. Now, Thomas was a good man. The truth is, he was called Doubting Thomas because of the fact that he doubted that one time. Now, again, that was what he always did. I mean, there are people that are stubborn all the time. They've been stubborn from youth. I mean, there are people that are bullheaded, that they're known for being bullheaded, or known for being short-tempered, or known for being kind. I don't know that Thomas was a doubter all of his life, but for that one event, he was known as Doubting Thomas. When we think of Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, a verse that many of us have up in our homes, and that verse says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, well, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we put that up. And you know who said that? Who said that? Joshua did. Now again, Joshua was a good man and a godly man and a great man. But that verse is probably one of the verses he's known for more than anything else. Again, one event, one day can alter the rest of your life. You never know. That's why you have to be wise and careful what you do today, because you don't know that it won't be the thing that defines the rest of your life. There are people that ruin their reputation in a moment. There are people that ruin their marriage in a moment. There are people that lose their job, in a moment of stupidity. My wife has a brother that has a temper. Now, again, I'm thankful I don't have much of a temper. Again, everybody has a temper. Everybody can get mad if you push them far enough. But the truth is, he has a temper and he never has worked to control it. So he has lost, I can't even number on one hand, probably not even on two hands, the number of jobs he's lost because he backtalks and cusses out the boss. Now, while it makes you feel good for a second or a couple minutes because you cussed out the boss and you gave him a good cussing, you feel really miserable when you get in the car and you drive home and you realize, I don't have a job now. I can't pay the bills now. I can't buy groceries now. I can't pay the rent now. How am I going to explain to my wife again that I was stupid and I didn't keep my mouth shut? I tell people this all the time. Your boss may not always be right, but you know what he is? He's your boss. Now, in today's society, the truth is people get by with a lot more junk today than they did years ago. Years ago, you make a mistake, they can fire you. Today, they have to write you up a half a dozen times, and they have to give you all kinds of citations and reasons, and then they have to take it to the Supreme Court, and after Supreme Court rules, and they can finally fire you. But that wasn't always the case. There are times that, you mouth off and you're done. You're gone. You don't worry about your two-week notice. You're leaving today. Truth is, you're cleaning out your locker right now. So again, understand, one day, one event, it can alter the rest of our lives. We need to be wise about what comes out of our mouth and what actions and attitudes we have. The next thing is, having things, money, time, love, with no one to share it with, really, really sucks. Now, I don't often use that word, but I use that word because it's really, really true in this case. Dad, be careful. You don't work so hard to give your kids stuff, but you don't give the kids you. Because I can tell you, and I said this to several people, Ms. Block and I had worked hard for the last 41 years. We actually got to the point that we could eat. Now, I still ate, the double cheeseburger or the two tacos and the burrito at Taco Bell because that's what I like. But Ms. Block would usually get something. She'd get a number. She'd get like number 5 or number 6 or number 3. She'd get a number. I didn't usually get a number. Unless I go to Whataburger and I get number 5 because that's one with bacon. And as I told you, everything's better with bacon. If you throw a little butter on it, it's usually better too, but bacon or butter. Now, understand, if you work hard, and Ms. Block and I did, that's what I told someone, we worked hard all of our lives, and now we actually have a little bit of money, but without her to spend it with, not near as much fun. I thought about that trip. She would have loved. How many of you have ever been to Maryland or Washington up in that area? It is beautiful up there. And I hate to admit that Yankee land is beautiful, but I don't know if all Yankees... I don't know if all Yankee land is beautiful, but that part of Yankee land is really beautiful. Up north. I've never seen, my son has in his backyard, he has trees, that are 40 or 50 feet tall. He has monstrous trees in his backyard. And there's all kinds of, the big pine trees and forests. It's beautiful up there. But again, so I was just thinking as I was driving, I thought, we had never taken that trip. Fact is, Joe was getting married, so we had planned that trip. But I can tell you, I just thought, man, it would have been so much more fun with Mrs. Block. As I stopped to eat, as I stopped to go into restaurants or things like that, it's not near as much fun to spend money on yourself as it is to spend money with someone else. So, again, Dad, if you work hard for your kids but you don't spend time with your kids, I know many kids have told me through the years because I've been principal for a long time and youth director for many, many years. I've had many kids tell me, I know why my mom and dad work as hard as they do because they want to give me things. And I've had many of those children tell me, I wish my mom and dad would realize I don't need all those things. I wish I could spend some time with them. Now, again, there are men that I've talked to that told me growing up, they don't ever remember their dad taking them fishing. They don't ever remember their dad playing catch with them. They don't ever remember their mom teaching them how to cook. They don't remember ever going down and playing in the creek. And by the way, if you've never played in the creek, you ought to take off tomorrow and go play in the creek. If you haven't played, how many of you have ever played in the creek? How many of you ever caught crawdads? Now, my seniors on the senior trip, because she's a city girl, Miss Tatiana, she thought you could catch a crawdad with a cup. So she had a cup. She tried to scare the crawdad into the cup.
Now, crawdads are fun to catch. You have to, but when you catch them, you want to immediately grab them by the tail and hold them up in the air, because if not, they will pinch you. That's part of the game. You try to grab them, and they try to grab you, and then you see who grabs who first. But who can tell me which way a crawdad goes? Which way do they run? They go backwards. So when you reach to the front, you have to make sure you have something in the back, because they scoot backwards. I mean, they're watching you with their eyes, but they move backwards. So Tatiana would take that cup, and she'd put that cup behind him, and she'd try to get him to slide into that cup. And she was successful a time or two, not near as often as we were with our hands. And I told her, throw the cup down. You have to at least do it once with the hands. And she did. But again, it was a lot of fun to play in the creek. It doesn't cost any money to play in the creek. The creek's free. Now, I'd rather swim in the creek than the pond. The pond might have that much mud in the bottom, and who knows whether that's all mud or not. Because the cows also like to stand in the pond, and some of it may not be mud, that stuff that's squishing between your toes. Thankfully, in the creek, that usually isn't the case. Again, make sure that, again, Dad, you don't work so hard, Mom, that you don't work so hard to get things for the kids. Now, again, I realize they want every gaming system that comes out, but I can tell you they don't have to have every gaming system that comes out. They want every new game that comes on the market. And they're always very pricey at the very beginning. My kids and I enjoyed the fact that we was always at least one game or two gaming systems behind everybody else. The games are so much cheaper back then. They start off at $59.99. A few months later, they're $19.99. Sometimes they're even $7.99. I mean, they're so much cheaper when you're not chasing the new ones. By the way, some of you that think you have to have them, and I have no problem with you having the newest phones. But I can tell you, they're going to keep making new ones so that the one you have is obsolete in a couple months. Make sure you don't spend all your time and money, because by the way, if you don't share it with someone, if you don't have time, you don't take the time to spend it or use it, you're going to find that it really stinks and really sucks to be alone. Next truth is this, and I can tell you this was a big, big blessing. Friends, family, and church are a great blessing in time of trouble. Now, there are some of you, I've heard people say this, I don't care whether I have friends or not, then you're a knucklehead. Because I can tell you there'll be a time in your life that you get to that friends come in very, very handy. In Proverbs 18:24, the verse we often quote, it tells you how to make friends. And it says there that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Two truths there. One, you want to make friends, you got to be friendly. Again, with that frown on your face and that bad attitude, if you wonder why people don't like you, come over, I can give you a little hint. It's called the frown on your face. It's called the mean remark that comes out of your mouth when someone's talking to you. Again, you don't have to be like that. I like the last part of the verse too, though, because that says this, that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And by the way, when you go through troubles, you meet him too. Now, I said friends, family, and church come in very handy, a big blessing. I didn't bring all the cards tonight, but I thank you for the cards. I thank you for the text. I appreciate the phone calls. My kids kept getting on me. They said, Dad, stop answering your phone. And I said, it's a habit. And it is. I always try to answer my phone. Most of you know that. If you call me, I try to answer the phone. If I miss your call, I usually try to call you back. Now, finally, someone the other day turned my phone on so that when I get a text, it makes a noise. But it didn't make a noise for a text for a long time. So sometimes I look at my phone, I'd have 25 texts, and I'd have to go back and try. So if I didn't text you back right away, it's because I didn't even know you text me. That's why I always tell people, stop texting me and call me. Besides, I hate the text because I have really big fingers and really little buttons. And then sometimes it will correct me. Sometimes it will say words I didn't mean to say. Sometimes it will say words that I meant to say, but sometimes it says words I didn't mean to say because it thinks it knows what I want to say. But again, friends, family, and church come in very handy at that time. By the way, real friends are priceless. If you have some really good friends, you'll have friends that John chapter 15, verse 13 mentions. And he says, a greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There are some, you'll have some friends that there's nothing they wouldn't do for you. And that is a big blessing. The night of my wife's death, two or three of our church folks stood out in the rain for 2 hours. Didn't talk to me. I was inside. But they stood there because that was something they could do. They may not have realized it, but it meant a lot to me. Now, you said, but what if I come out and stand in the rain? Will that really mean a lot to you? Not on a normal basis, no. So if you come out and stand in the rain, I'll normally think you're a knucklehead, and I'll tell you to get out of the rain. But because it don't show a lot of sense to stand out in the rain. But at a time like that, it meant a lot. And you'll have some friends, by the way, that are really priceless, friends that you can't put a value on. Now, if you don't have a friend like that, you ought to work to have one or two of those because they come in very, very handy. Another truth the Lord provides during tough times. One of my favorite verses, and I quote it often, is Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. And it says simply this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I like that fact where he says a very present help. If you've ever called someone and they said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. 20 minutes is a long time. Think about Peter. When Peter got out in the waves and he looked down and he began to sink, it didn't take 15 or 20 minutes for Jesus to grab him. When he yelled, Lord, save me, or Lord, help me, Jesus immediately reached out his hand. And I can tell you, as a child of God, and this wasn't the first time, and it probably won't be the last time, and some of you have experienced it as well, but the fact that the Lord is there during tough times. And again, he can comfort like no one else can comfort. There's nothing, the Bible says, there's nothing that he hasn't experienced himself. I thought about that through the day when people said that. You know, there's nothing, that there's no temptation the Lord hasn't experienced. And I thought to myself, yeah, there is. Can anyone tell me what it is? He's never had a wife. So he doesn't know how nice wives can be. He doesn't know how tough wives can be. He doesn't know how annoying wives can be. He doesn't know how big a blessing wives, because he never had one. He had a father, he had a mother, he had brothers and sisters, but he never had a wife. So, but again, I thought about that today when someone mentioned that, you know, the Lord's been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I thought, he's never had. Now, thankfully, I didn't have a nagging wife. For those of you who have nagging wives, I feel for you. For those of you who have lazy wives, I feel for you. For those of you that have mean wives, I feel for you. For those of you that have loving wives, you better appreciate them. For those of you that have hard-working wives, you better appreciate them. For those of you that have wives that don't nag. Now, I tell people nowadays, when they say, Brother Block, I didn't want to be nagging. When you get my age, it's not nagging. It's just called reminding, okay? Because I forget. So I don't look at, someone says, I just didn't want to be nagging. I said, trust me, it wasn't nagging. It just reminded me because I'd already forgot. Kurt did this to me last night. We'd bought a pump to pump water from the canal into my pond. And I saw it and I said, Kurt, what's that pump doing there? He says, you don't remember? That's the pump you and I bought. I went, we did? And he said, yeah. And he said, oh, you're right. I said, did I pay you for that? He said, yeah. And then he said, no, you didn't. And I said, Kurt, if you hadn't already told me, yeah, then the no, I probably would have paid you again. But I said, because we're supposed to pay halves. And again, so if that's the reason when someone, I'd rather you owe me money than me owe you money, because I might forget, and I don't want to be known for a person who didn't pay you. So that's why I would rather pay you ahead of time or pay you extra and have you pay me back. I'd rather you owe me, because if you forget, that's on you. But I don't want to forget. And Kurt tried that on me last night. But again, the Lord's there during tough times. Make sure that you go to him. Mark chapter 15, verse 34. I think Jesus felt probably what some of us have felt. I thought I'd experienced great pain, but I never knew. Again, any physical pain I ever had does not compare to the pain you have when you lose a loved one. Jesus felt it when God turned his back on him. That's why he said in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because for just a short time, God left Jesus, and Jesus understood what it was like to be deserted by his heavenly Father. That's why sometimes there are some pains that people feel that are not physical. Those pains can also be tough. And then the last thing, and I'll be done. Live your life so at death there's no regrets. I look back, and as I've said to several people through the last few weeks, there's some things I wish I had done differently. That's the bad thing about 20/20 vision. When you look back, you can see things a lot clearer than you can at the time. As I said, Mrs. Block knew I loved her. Mrs. Block knew there wasn't anyone I loved more than her. But I still wish I'd said it again. When I see on TV someone get to hold the loved one for a couple minutes before they die, I wish I could do that too, but I didn't get to. Make sure you don't look back with regrets. Now, when I say look back with regrets, it could be about soul winning. It could be that you didn't tithe. It could be that you didn't attend church faithfully. It could be that you didn't support Brother Nichols. It could be that you didn't work as hard as you should have on your job. You weren't a good employee. There's all kinds of things you can look back with regrets. I'm glad that Paul didn't. Paul left us this statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm ready to go. He went on and said this: I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And again, that's something most people don't do. Most people don't finish. A lot of people start, but very few finish. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And again, Paul kept the faith through some really tough times. I don't think any of us will probably ever experience. You read that list of things that Paul went through. You talk about scary. You talk about devastating. I mean, the nights in the deep and the beatings and all the other stuff. And dying and coming. I mean, Paul went through so much. None of us, we probably haven't experienced a tenth of what Paul experienced. But you know what he said through all that? I kept the faith. Not once during all that time. And I can tell you, I've had a lot of people through the years say, Brother Block, there's times I struggled. I mean, there's times that I remember when Bruce Rice stood up here. I don't think I've ever heard a preacher admit what Bruce Rice admitted that night. And he admitted that there was a time that he kind of disbelieved. He just kind of quit believing in God. Now, he was a missionary. He was a preacher. And again, you may find that there's a time that, and again, I can tell you the one that's at fault will be you. God's never forsaken you. God's never done you wrong. God's never mistreated you or me. The truth is, every day, no matter what we face, we can still say at the end of every day, God's good. The truth is, we can say what that one of the radio announcers that I listen to, he always says this when I ask him how he's doing, he always says this, better than I deserve. By the way, that's true of all of us. All of us, God treats us a whole lot better than we deserve. I was at a restaurant the other night, talked to a young man, and he came back and he said, you know, there's a time that he knew that he found out that I was a Christian, and because I talked to him about it. And he said, a lot of people face, he said, there's one time that karma doesn't really happen. And I looked at him like, what do you mean? He said, we all deserve, because of our sin, to go to hell. But if we're saved, we don't get karma. We don't get what we deserve. It doesn't come around. Because the truth is, though each one of us here deserve to go to hell, if we're saved, we won't. Though we deserved, I mean, God could be a lot rougher on us. I mean, he could punish us a lot more than he does. But he's very merciful and kind, he's full of mercy. He goes on in verse 8, and he says this, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. I like this news, and not to me only. He says, you know what, I'm not the only one who's going to get that, but unto all them also that love his appearing. By the way, there are some things I can't do. I see people do stuff, and I think, man, I could never do that. I'd love to think that I could get a crown like Paul got. Paul is one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. I tell people this all the time. There are a lot of things I can't do, but I can be faithful. I can be faithful. You say, what makes you faithful? You just do it today, and then you do it tomorrow, and then you do it the next day. You sometimes have to take it a day at a time. Sometimes you might even have to take it an hour at a time, but you just have to. And by the way, soon you've got a week, and you've been faithful for a week, and then it's turned into a month, then it's turned into a year, and then it's 10 years, and then it's 20 years, and it's 30 years. By the way, some of you have been faithful to Liberty Baptist Church. That's one of the things that people that come back here, they'll look around and say, man, the Millikens are still here, and the Taylors are still here. And man, there's the Perrys. I mean, Grandpa Perry and Grandma Perry, I mean, they're still here. And then they look around, and they see folks have been here for 20 and 30 and 40 years. That's called being faithful. And by the way, you didn't say talented. Not all of us are as talented as the next person. I don't think very few of us are as talented as Paul. Paul is a very talented fella. But we can be as faithful as Paul, and that means we can also get that again, if we love his appearing, we can get that crown that again, he talked about. Again, I want you to understand this truth tonight. As much as I will miss Mrs. Block, I look back at all the good years we've had together, and I have to simply say, thank you, Lord. All the times you go through, you may go through some tough times here at Liberty Baptist Church. We're a family, so you know what happens sometimes? Family fights. Sometimes you're going to get mad at somebody else here. You know what? If you have enough sense, you know what to do? You'll get that right, and you'll stay here. I've seen a lot of people leave Liberty Baptist Church and mess up their lives. We have some that live on my street that left Liberty Baptist Church, and they're not living for the Lord anymore. We have some that, someone asked me about someone the other day, someone that was, on staff here 25 or 30 years ago. And to my knowledge, they hardly even believe in God today. I mean, they called us Liberty Baptist. Remember Brother Nick was mentioning about that, about Independent Baptist cult? One of those folks that used to go to our church now calls us Liberty Baptist or Independent Baptist cult. A person who used to believe just exactly like you, but what happened? They got out of church. They got away from this book. They got away from the preaching of the Word of God. They sat underneath someone else for a little while. And by the way, usually they only stay there for a little while, and then they get out of church completely. They go someplace where someone tickles their ears and tells them what they like to hear, and never preaches and convicts them, and never tries to get them to come to the altar, and never tries to get them to give up anything or start doing something. I mean, pats them on the back and tells them how good they are, and I mean, tries to give them some positive points in living. You be wise and be careful. Liberty Baptist Church should be your home, which means, by the way, you just stay. I like what Brother Castile says. He says it all the time. Stick and stay and make it pay. And by the way, you stay faithful, Liberty Baptist Church, it will pay. You're going to get that crown of righteousness. You know, you're going to get some rewards when you get to heaven. Maybe he'll say to you what he has said many times to others, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Again, be wise that you don't let a day go by that you don't tell your wife or your husband or your kids or your grandkids you love them. By the way, make sure that you do that. Mom and Dad, you're not so busy making money that you don't take some time to spend with the kids, because I can tell you that Thursday morning when I went to work, I expected that Thursday evening to go home and continue on, but that wasn't the case. Now, it may not just be me that happens to. The truth is, we've had other folks here that have had, we have some that we see it coming for weeks or months. We've had others, like I just remember a little Emmanuel. Got in the van, headed out the driveway, got back inside and passed. How old was he? 12? 12 years of age. I just thank God. I mean, that all my kids are in their 30s and 40s now, and I just, when I think a little Emmanuel, I just think, wow, I only had 12 years. My kids, and again, when I look at me, I'm 60 years old. God's been good to me. By the way, he's been good to you too. Don't forget in your trials and your temptations and your hard times, don't forget how good God is, because even in those tough times, God's still good. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize life's short. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to use our time wisely, use our talents wisely, use our money wisely. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful to Liberty Baptist Church and the ministries of Liberty Baptist Church. Help us to love our loved ones, our family, our husbands, wives, and kids like we should. I pray, Lord, you'd help that Liberty Baptist Church is known as a church that loves sinners. Lord, we preach against sin. And Lord, don't ever let our folks get clouded in that area. We preach against sin, but we love sinners. Because, Lord, that's the thought you had. You hated sin, but you loved every sinner. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight that we'd realize that we want to live our life in such a way that if today is the last day that we're alive, that we go out doing all that we could have and should have done for you, living life to its fullest in the Christian life and also in our home life and our family life. I pray, Lord, you'd help us that we might not look back and wish we'd done some things differently, that, Lord, we'd be able to look back and count the blessings and count the good years and the good times we had. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.